the 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, DC Hendricks.
Welcome in, everybody. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Pleasure to be with you for another episode. Of course, shout out to our sponsor, the Old Fort Baseball Company, for making this podcast possible. So this week's episode, before we even get started, need you guys to scroll on down, click write a review, let me know what you are thinking of this podcast. And of course, you got to subscribe to keep up with everything that we got going with this podcast and let us know what you are thinking by writing a review on Apple. And of course, we're available everywhere, Spotify, Apple, Google Play, and everywhere podcasts are available. This week's episode, very excited as I get to bring on somebody that I've been wanting to bring on for a while. The timing is right because, you know, it's a little bit slower now, but he's still working. He never literally just sat down to do this interview, still working right now. So we have the one and only Blaine McRae joining us here on the 260 Dugout. Welcome, Blaine. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great to be here. I'm really excited. I've known about the work you do and the podcast for a while, and the Old Fort Baseball Co. And I'm a big fan of anything that, you know, promotes baseball in the area.
Absolutely, man. A big reason why we started this podcast is because I feel like we got a lot of great baseball minds and talent here, and you're one of them. So I am lucky to have you today.
I'm lucky to be here, and I really, really appreciate you saying that. I think I agree. There's a lot of really, really talented coaches and players in the area, and I don't think they get highlighted enough.
Yeah.
So
you got a unique story. So this is going to be a very, really fun one for me and probably the listener too. Like I'm really excited to do this. But before we even get to where you are today, so you you grew up playing ball right here in the 260. I'm always a supporter of anybody that plays Little League because I'm believe that we have some great little leagues here in the 260, whether it's, you know, Elmhurst, Foster Park, St. Joe, Georgetown, tons of great little leagues all across the city. And you were lucky to play at a couple of them, I believe. So talk about your little league career and how did you get started playing ball and where did you
play? Yeah, so I moved to Indiana when I was 3. And when I was like 6 years old, I wanted to start playing baseball. And I lived on the south side of town over in like the Foster Park neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So I started playing Foster Park ball in first grade. And I've been playing baseball ever since. I played at Foster from first grade through seventh grade. Nice. And then my eighth grade year, they didn't have a team. So I played a year of Elmhurst ball. And at that year at Elmhurst, we went 0-24.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it was quite the season. but yeah, that was really my whole baseball background. I never played travel ball.
Yeah.
Combination of, not really knowing anything about it. And also, you know, it's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just wasn't something that, you know, my family felt like was worth it. And so I think a lot of the experiences I've had in college have been kind of new for me. Whereas for a lot of guys, they're somewhat similar to what they did in travel ball. So it's been really kind of a unique college experience for me.
Yeah, so a lot to unpack there. I mean, first of all, thank you for coming over to the real Little League, Elmhurst Little League, for at least the season. I'm sorry that I'm just kidding. All seriousness, we can't be biased on here. So, man, that's rough. You went 0-24. How did you deal with that? I mean, like, we've all been on losing teams, you know, growing up. How did you deal with that as a youngster going 0-24?
I mean, like, I've always been very, very competitive. Like, I think if you ask my college coaches, like, how would you describe him? I'm a pretty competitive guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, like, when I play Little League, like when I was a little kid, second grade, third grade, I would like cry when we lost if we lost a game, I'd cry.
Right.
So like, 0-24, it was brutal. But I mean, I think when you're on a team that bad, you get like halfway through the year and you kind of just, you check out a little bit. It's like, mm-hmm. All right, you know, I was 14 years old. It sucked.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've definitely been on plenty of losing teams, but that was one thing that was really great about coming to St. Francis too, is we didn't lose a whole lot while I was here. We had some really good teams. So, but yeah. And then, you know, after I finished at Elmhurst, I went to high school and I was actually lucky enough to be part of two of Southside's 3, you know, historic sectional championships.
Mm-hmm.
So my high school experience was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's unpack that. So going through that 0-24 season, you do that right before you go to high school, and then you start winning sectional championships at Southside. So I'm sure that had to feel good. And didn't you get to play with did you get to play with Will Corson Carr?
No, so
Was that after?
Will, he would have graduated in 2012.
Okay.
He's a little older, but he was a coach while I was there.
Yeah, that's
So
what I meant as a
yeah,
coach.
absolutely. So he was, he was like doing pitching coaching and assistant head coaching and stuff. And I know Will. Will's a really good dude. I just saw him a couple weeks ago, actually. And yeah, it was always kind of cool for me because, you're in the presence of this guy who like he was Gatorade Player of the Year, and he's like the best baseball player Southside's ever produced. And so it was a lot of fun to be around him. But yeah, I mean, it was cool. Like, it was my my sophomore and junior year we won sectionals because senior year was COVID. And sophomore year we were really, really talented. And then junior year we kind of we won like three games in the regular season. We were like 3-15, and then we somehow won our sectional. So it was a really kind of a funny time to be in Fort Wayne baseball.
Yeah, so when I my senior year 2009, we were a growing program. I think we were starting to get a little bit better at that point, but like we used to have a little fun and we used to try to pump ourselves up for the sectional tournaments and say, this is the year. This is going to be the year we have the success and they're going to make a movie about us. And it's just, it never happened, obviously. But yeah, we used to have that fun at Southside as well. So that's definitely something we have in common as well. So Elmhurst Little League and Southside. So how was that though? Being, on Southside's team, you're watching a lot of your peers playing travel ball. Did you ever feel like kind of deteriorated a little bit about that or a little bit upset?
It's funny because like I truly just didn't know. Like I, a lot of my buddies at Southside, they might have played travel ball, but like to me, that was like a foreign world. Like I had no concept of like what that looked like. So I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything until I got to college. And everyone I talked to had played travel ball, and I was like, oh man, like, because when I got to college, like I was not good. Like I was not good at all. Like there's a reason I didn't pitch my freshman year. I was bad. And so sometimes, I look back and I'm like, man, if I had like understood what that looked like, if I had played travel baseball, like real baseball growing up, I wonder if I would have been a little better, But I worked really hard in college to get to the point where I feel like I had a pretty dang good career, and I'm happy with it. So I'm happy with the way things ended up, but definitely a little bit of like, damn, I think I missed out a little bit.
Yeah, got you. Yeah, so like, how did so you have a unique scenario where, and I don't know if you got recruited or at all coming out of Southside, but like, explain to the audience because I know a little bit about your story, but explain to the audience how you even got to play college ball at St. Francis.
So it's funny. I didn't really pitch at all in high school, like here and there, like, 'cause you need guys that can throw the ball relatively hard. I can throw the ball relatively hard, whatever. I was a third baseman, and around like December, my senior year. So, a couple months before COVID hits, I was like, man, I kind of want to play college baseball. And I only ever had one team. I don't even remember who it was. Look at me as a third baseman, some tiny little D3 or something. And I was hitting really well in April. And then after I heard about that team that was interested in me, this is my junior year, I hit like 180 the rest of the year. So, and then I don't have a summer season to get interest. So no one knew who I was, which is fair. I wasn't worth knowing. But then my senior year, I was like really into the idea of playing college baseball. And I talked to Coach Butcher here, and I told him I'm a third baseman. And he was like, well, we have a really good sophomore third baseman, so we don't need a third baseman. He was like, can you pitch? And I was like, oh yeah, sure, I can pitch. Which wasn't strictly true. I COVID hit, I didn't have my senior season, and I committed to a JUCO, and it turned out that JUCO didn't have the education program that I wanted, and they kind of misled me about that. So I decommitted, and I texted Coach Butcher, and I was like, hey, I would really love to come to St. Francis. And he told me, well, because of COVID, you're not going to play. Like, you will not play, and we don't have money for you. So I was a walk-on, I was going to redshirt, and I was like, it just feels right. So I came here, I sat for a year, and I got to know the guys, and I learned a lot about baseball and the experience, and it was really, really worth it. And so it's a kind of a weird path to it. So like when I entered college, I was like 77 to 83, like anywhere in that range off the mound. And then, I worked pretty hard. I lifted. I had never been in the gym before. And so I think a lot of what the kind of the basis of what I do now, my job now, is that I'm in a lot of ways I'm self-taught. Like I had a lot of help from Coach Connor Lawhead here at St. Francis, who's, could not shout him out more. He is the smartest person I know. But a lot of it is stuff that I kind of taught myself and I learned myself. And so a lot of that translates into my current job because by the time I graduated, I was up to 93. And so that's, a 10, 12 mile an hour jump in a few years. And that's, something that takes a lot of work ethic. So I think just trying to translate what I've learned and learn new stuff every day and translate that and constantly try to give people information. That's what I would describe my job as.
Yeah, and today you are basically a pitch. I don't know if, what are they called? Are you a pitching instructor, pitching trainer, pitching coach,
Yeah.
all the above?
All of, any of the above. I don't, yeah, I'm not too
Yeah.
particular about the title. I would say like I'm a sort of like a private pitching coach.
I like that. Yeah, and you've been working with a lot of the high school kids around the area. Talk about how that's been for you and even highlight some of the kids that you've got to work with. I know one, Luke Rhea's been on here. I see you working with him. He's going off to Toledo now. So explain, talk about how that's been for you and some of the kids you've been working with.
Yeah, this is definitely the thing that I really want to talk about. I like talking about these guys because they work really hard and, I'm proud of them. I work with about, in various capacities, I work with about 30 to 35 guys right now individually. A lot of those guys are on full-time training plans. So like I program everything from their pre-throw routine through their throwing, their post-throw, their arm care, their lifting, all of the above. And they come in, they get in, various kinds of work with me. But yeah, like we'll start with Luke Reha because he's one of the guys that really helped me accelerate what I do because he, he told a lot of people about me and I'm very thankful for that. But Luke came to me and he was kind of stuck in the upper eights, touching 90, and he's been that way for a couple of years. And within a couple of weeks, we had got him to 92. And then he threw a live session and touched 94. And then this past weekend, he touched 94.8. And really, it was a couple unlocks for him in the way that he throws and the way he thinks about the throw. So there were a couple specific drills that we prescribed him. I say we, and I'm talking about myself and Luke because it's very cooperative. Like I'm trying to work with these guys and have them take ownership in their development and work with me and not just kind of for me, if that makes sense. So like with Luke, it was like, how do we allow you to unlock your present strength and explosiveness? Because his delivery was very, I don't want to say slow, but it was sort of what we would almost call spinny. Like he would go into leg lift and then he would sort of drift a little bit down the mound and then he would immediately turn and that was his throw. He was just trying to get to the arm as soon as possible. I'm trying to put this in kind of in layman's terms as much as possible because I don't want to overcomplicate things for anybody that's listening. But basically, what happened was he was able to unlock a little more separation. So he was able to sequence his arm into the throw a little better by using the front foot as a cue. And what that did was it unlocked his velocity, it improved his command. We also changed his fastball grip and his fastball shape. We added in a splitter. So now he's a four pitch mix guy that sits in the low nines and, the way he's tracking right now in 3 years, he'll have his name called, in the draft. And that's what his goal is. And I'm very happy to help him kind of get there. But it's his hard work that makes that possible. So yeah, him and Luke Nyswanger just touched the 95 and 94.9. We don't want to round up around here. But yeah, a nice longer Charlie Herr is a guy that I would really look out for. He's the number five ranked pitcher in the state, in his class, the class of 2027. He works really hard. He's 87, 89. He's got a four pitch mix. He's 6'4". He's really projectable. He's got interest from, Northwestern, Michigan, some pretty good schools. Luke Haley is another guy to really look out for. He's another Homestead kid. He played for D-backs this past year. I believe he's playing for Five Star National summer. And he's gained about 3 miles an hour in the past couple of weeks through some mechanical adjustments. And I could go down the line and name a bunch of guys that I have. Like I have college guys. The Nathan and Jacob Bardwell are really, really talented. Ryan Michaeloff, who's going to USI. Caden Tarango, who's at Tulane, and he's probably going to be a draft pick this year. So I'm lucky and blessed enough to work with a lot of really, really talented arms. And kind of like the way that I would describe what I do is I help talented guys unlock and realize their potential. And I help them become their own best coach. And that's my goal. Like if you can become you're the best coach for yourself, then I'm doing my job correctly.
Yeah, so do you have like any age restrictions? So like are you just doing high school, freshman in high school to college level?
I generally only work with high schoolers and up. I've done some work with some younger kids before. I would say my issue with it is that I think when you're like 11 and 12 years old, I don't think that you should talk about mechanics. Like, for example, when I have, eventually down the road, when I have a son, hopefully he really likes baseball. And the way that I'm going to train him is to just be task oriented. So when you're 7 years old, I'm not going to tell you what your mechanics should look like. I think you just throw the ball hard to a target over and over and over and over again, because that is going to develop mind muscle connection and the ability to direct the throw to a target at a young age. And that translates far more than any mechanical adjustments do. So for me, it's like when I have 12-year-olds come in, it's like, I'm not going to offer you the same thing. It's not, I don't want to talk to you about your
It's
leg
a totally
workout.
different conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I would prefer that, 11, 12, 10-year-olds, they just focus on being athletic and be task oriented and develop arm strength through long toss and consistent throwing. So for me, I don't really love to do those younger age groups. But I think I will if I were to find, maybe parents that were like-minded in that kind of that pursuit of a more athletic throw.
Yeah, that's good. I love how, and because you just graduated, like literally, you just graduated from St. Francis and have spent so much time working with, the high school and college level. So like, is this something that you are going to be doing? Is this a long-term goal of yours? What are you hoping to get out of this? And what are some things you want to accomplish moving forward?
So, I think for me, I've been in, talks with PSM and Josh Van Meter about doing work for them. And they've got some stuff on the way with the facility they're breaking ground at in New Haven that I think is going to be pretty cool. So that's something to be on the lookout for. I may be working in a capacity with PSM in the near future. But eventually, the long-term goal is to get a minor league pitching coach job and work my way up the ladder for an affiliated organization. And hopefully, like, the dream job would be to one day be an MLB pitching coordinator. And that's extremely difficult. It's a really, really hard job to do. But I think I'm really lucky to have arms of the caliber that I have that work with me at the age I do. And I think that might help me, take the first steps in that pursuit. But that's the dream. I think I'm going to keep throwing and I'm going to keep, trying to pursue pro ball, but I think it has to be a level of opportunity that is more enticing than what I already have going on for me right now, which I really like. So I'd say that's the ultimate dream, is I want to work my way up the ladder for an affiliate organization. But I'll probably be doing this whole private pitching coach thing for another few years at least.
Yeah, I was gonna say because of, we were talking a little bit, you did say that there was some pro, professional level teams that were interested in you. So I was interested to find out, how long, you were gonna be doing this.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I went to a tryout in June, and they offered me a contract at the tryout. I mean, at one of the, it's a pretty close by professional league, and I read through the contract, and it just wasn't for me. And then, I had a little interest from a certain Pioneer League team, and it just was a lot for me to pack up and go to somewhere that's 15 hours away and kind of leave what I'm building here behind. And so I think for me to like really want to pursue that professional offer, it's going to have to be something of a little bit a certain caliber, and I have to be a certain caliber of pitcher for that to happen. And so for me, it's like, I'll keep throwing and I'll keep training and but I'm going to do what I think is best for me. And right now that's what I have going on.
That's
So
awesome.
I'd say, like, as much as I love throwing baseballs, I think I kind of love helping other people throw them a little more.
I can tell from your post. That was a big reason I wanted to bring you on is because like very rarely, when people are coaching in aspects and this is not a knock on anyone personally, but like very little do you see people that are actually out for the kids and are into promoting the kids. Like, you wouldn't even know that you're a private pitching instructor, pitching coach. You would just think you were just like, I don't want to say like a supporter of these kids, but pretty much along those lines, because you're so vocal about these kids and the work that they're putting in. So that's definitely a big reason why I wanted to bring you on. So let's say if somebody's listening, they have a kid, they have a niece, nephew, and I say niece because softball, they might need some work too, you never know. But in case someone wants to, maybe contact you to possibly work with their kid, how could they get in contact with you? And what are some things you could offer?
Yeah, I mean, real quick, I'll certainly answer that. But to your point, I really appreciate that because that's my goal. I think one of the reasons I do what I do is that, again, I didn't get to play travel ball or do private instruction, and some of that is financial. And I think the problem when you look around the baseball landscape anywhere is how much kids are priced out of the game, how much kids are priced out of the skill work that helps turn you into a college baseball player. And so for that reason, I try to, and I've always tried to keep my rates as low as I possibly can. I'm blessed enough that Coach Butcher lets me use the facilities here for very minimal fees. And so that keeps my overhead low. And I'm able to keep things cheap. And that's really important to me. Because, like I went to Southside and you went to Southside and like the socioeconomic level of that neighborhood, of that area, like there's not a whole lot of kids that go there that can afford, the skill work and the travel, and so it's like for me, the more that I can make things possible, the better. And I think like at the end of the day, it's not about me, and it shouldn't be about you as a coach. Like it should be about the kid, because it's about their dreams and what they want to accomplish. And like, I think the more that you can take your ego out of it as a coach, the better. And that's hard to do. But yeah, I think if you want to contact me, I'd say the best place to do it is, I have an Instagram account. It's called McCray Pitching Development. That's a good place to start. I take DMs there. And then my Twitter is a good place too. You can just look up my name. I'm verified on there. And so, yeah, I would say DM me either one there. My phone number is also in my Twitter bio. So if you want to directly contact me there, that's perfectly fine too. And I'm available. I mean, I do this as a full-time job, so I'm taking on new clients. I'm definitely interested in and taking on new clients and getting to work with new people. So yeah.
It's great stuff. Blaine McRae joining us here on the 260 Dugout Podcast. Hopefully we get some more people to work with you. You've been doing great stuff, man. Keep in touch. And I got to bring on Coach Butcher too. So hopefully I'm going to check out the facility. I'm going to come out and come hang with you guys for a day
Yeah.
and interview him as well and highlight his program. But definitely very excited for you and what you got going, man. And thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you so much, DC. I really appreciate it. You have a great day, and I'll talk to Coach Butch about getting him on here.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on, man. Take care.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right. See you.